Welcome to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul, and I am your host. A quick reminder before we get started, we would love for you to rate and review this podcast on your podcast app. It really helps people connect with the material when you do that. We'd really, really appreciate it. We are in part two of our interview with Sherilyn Orr. She's an author of The Stoplight Approach, as well as a book called Signals. And this book and this curriculum, The Stoplight Approach, really helps us understand our children and the brain science in our children, and really equips us and empowers us for effective parenting as Christ-centered people. We're going to dive back into our discussion with Sherilyn Orr on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. Here we go. Now, you and I are sitting recording this in a church. We have both worked in churches and been brought up in church. Why do you think sometimes the church is reticent to talk about brain science? You know, I think in some churches that I've been part of, train up a child in the way he should go means, you know, church attendance. It means going to kids' church or Sunday school or whatever you call it at your church. It means praying it away if there's a problem. And so why do you think that this is so hard for churches to, or I don't know if it's harder for churches to embrace. Maybe it's just new. But why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, anything that is new puts us in yellow brain.
Okay.
Because it's change.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, wait a second, I've been doing this for 50 years, you know, or like when I first learned about stoplight, I've been teaching kids for 30 some odd years, you know? So all of a sudden it's like, this is a change of paradigm. This is a paradigm shift, and change is hard. And, you know, and you feel like, okay. And also you feel like, oh, wait a second, what I was doing was wrong.
Yeah.
So, I kind of look back and say, no, everybody did the best they could with the knowledge they had.
Right.
So we all have been raised under a system that's very behavior management oriented, very punishment oriented or rewards based. We were all raised under that kind of regimented system where we often didn't feel seen, heard, and valued. But now that we can understand brain science, this gives us a new tool, but it is hard to shift. And then it's like, okay, but if I accept this, how does that fit with what the Bible says about spare the rod, spoil the child? You know, I don't want to spoil my kid. I don't want my kid to grow up, you know, and grandparents can look at it. I've just become a grandparent.
Oh, congratulations.
I got a tiny little grandson.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I don't want my child to grow up being spoiled, you know, my grandchild to be spoiled or my children to be spoiled. And sometimes there's this fear. There's this fear that says, wait, what has the Bible taught us? And what is this brain science? So I would challenge you to, if you're listening to this and you're kind of scared about this, go to the Bible and start to relook at it. That's what I've had to do on my stoplight journey, is to say, who is the God I serve?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of God is he? And start looking at, because the Bible doesn't give a parenting manual, but we are God's children.
Sure.
And how does he look at us? Does he look at us from that rules orientation and he says, hey, get out of here. You can come back when you get your life together.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that to us.
That's right.
Because he is the creator of our brain. And there's such a beautiful tenderness of Christ. When you look at it and he says, a bruised reed, he will not break. And I think we are all broken human beings. We come with our baggage. We come with our brokenness. And the older you get, I feel like the more we get. But even small children are coming to us. They've just lived through a couple years of lockdowns and chaotic loss of routines, loss of friends, loss of grandparents or relationships that would have brought a sense of health and security that they haven't had. So I think we are all coming into this new season of life with a sense of brokenness, whether you're a small child or not. And God just has a beautiful tenderness, and he has called us to show that to others. And he looks at us, and he understands red brain is a sense of unsafeness and fear. yellow and red brain are fear brain states. And he says, perfect love casts out fear. 365 times in the Bible, he says, do not be afraid. So I think as we look at that red brain state, that fear brain state, you know, God doesn't want to live us to live in that fear brain state. And when he looks at it, he goes, I am your safety and I am your refuge. And then in that yellow brain state, he says, I love you. I delight in you just as you are, not as you want to be, not as you should be, not as you could be, but I love you. I see you. I know you. I care about you. I value you. So we have that sense of being seen by God, but also loved and valued by him because he doesn't want us to be in that yellow brain state. And he wants to get us to a place that's green where he can train us in the way that we should go.
Right. So red, yellow, green is not a progression necessarily. We're not trying to get someone from red to yellow as a way of getting them to green. Like do we... It's your story about your friend who was able to de-escalate your child who was having a meltdown. Sounded like she's skipped right over yellow to green, or explain that to me.
Well, I think if you have somebody that's in red brain state and they are really red, so it could take 30-45 minutes to calm that red brain state down because that brain is on fire. Okay. So there needs to be that calming space. And it depends on the age of the child and the severity of that red brain. In this situation, it was a younger child, so it didn't take quite as long. But it also depends on the situation. But just know that sometimes it's not going to be super fast because that brain is on fire and that brain needs to calm down. But so when she sat beside that child, she was able to calm the child down. But then if you watched her, then she had that connection where it wasn't about the problem. She didn't go about what the child did wrong, but she just connected with that child. I see you. I hear you. I know you. I value you. And they started talking about something completely different.
Okay.
And then what was she able to do is to get that child up because it is, you have to take them from that lower brain state through the middle part up to the part where you can train the child in the way they should go. So I think back to your original question about the church. I think let's look at that verse, spare the rod, spoil the child, because that's one that is it often a hang up of I see. And that one is the sense of I have to control my child, right? I have to use something, whether it be timeouts or take away, I have to punish my child. A child needs to feel pain in order to do better. You know, that sense of that. And that's what the Bible teaches me. That's what I heard all my life growing up. But I think let's just look at that for a few seconds and say, what was the rod used for? And as a parent, if we look at it, it was never used to beat sheep. And you look at God is the good shepherd. It talks about him being the good shepherd, how he, you know, he knows his sheep, right? If you beat any animal, they're going to run away. And the same is true if you're punishing, whatever that punishment looks like. Because it's not about connection. It's about disconnection. And so the rod was used to protect animals, right? To protect the sheep because they're very vulnerable. And our children are very vulnerable. And as parents, they need us to protect them.
Yeah. I love this quote from your book. You said, punishment concerns itself with the past. Punishment means putting and often keeping our children in yellow or red brain for a duration of whatever punishment we feel is appropriate for their past misbehavior. But discipline is focused on the future. Above all, it means helping our kids understand in their heart how to make better choices, create better outcomes. Discipline is about learning. I think that's what you're talking about there, the difference between the rod being used to beat, which it wasn't. It was used to keep them safe. It was used to keep sheep away from danger. It was creating a system and a way forward for the whole flock. There's a concept that you talk about a little bit in the book also I'd like to ask a question about is this idea of emotional intelligence. And we talk about that here at Broadway, even on our staff, as a valuable trait to have when you're working with volunteers. Can you talk a little bit about that in terms of the material that you're creating?
Well, we call it the ABCs. Mm-hmm. So the emotional intelligence really is the core root of having an the outcome is emotionally healthy people. Mm-hmm. And we all want our children to be emotionally healthy. We want them to be able to be responsible. If you ask parents, what is their goal for their kids? They want them to be successful. Mm-hmm. And when you look at emotional intelligence, I go back to the Harvard Grant study. You know, mm-hmm. it's the longest longitudinal study, and it looks at brilliant people with high IQs going to Harvard, mm-hmm. but a lot of them ending up not being successful. Or why were they unsuccessful? They're broken marriages, unhealthy people, mm-hmm. Medical issues, because we're holistic people. And they studied them for over 70 years, and I think the project is still ongoing. And it looks at all aspects of life, and it really comes back to that relationship. Mm-hmm. The ones who have that healthy relationships are the ones that end up being successful. Mm-hmm. So IQ is not what's mm-hmm. going to make you successful. Right. It's how do we grow emotionally healthy children by growing their emotional intelligence. So we break down the word. Emotional intelligence feels like a huge word. Like, mm-hmm. what is that? You know, so we look at emotional intelligence, and we look at it through emotional literacy, which we call awareness. Mm-hmm. What color am I in, and what color is everybody else in? Mm-hmm. Because that's the first step. If we don't understand what emotional state we're in, what color we're using, then we're not mm-hmm. going to understand anybody else.
Sure.
And then we have... what we call behavior. You know, how do we get ourselves to green? So that's all about self-regulation. Because if we are a dysregulated person, we are not going to be in healthy relationships with others. Mm-hmm. And I look at that, and that's about getting ourselves to green. And I kind of imagine, maybe I've spent too much time in airports, but that you cannot go through, as every parent, they say, I love my child. I haven't met a parent yet. Right. Parents who are really struggling with their own addictions or emotional health, they love their child. Mm-hmm. But their child does not feel loved. Mm-hmm. And so... how do we help our children feel loved? And that's all about emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. is we have to get ourselves to green before it's like going through that airport security. And then we can do what I call CDE and F. We can do all of that after we've been able to get ourselves first to green. Mm-hmm. So being in green is only the beginning of understanding emotional intelligence. So that's why our stoplight's more than just, okay, I got myself to green, I got my kids to green. Mm-hmm. Because that's not going to help to grow emotionally healthy children mm-hmm. who are going to impact the world.
Sure.
So as we go through that, if we are in that yellow or red, we can't impact. So I feel like that now we can go through the airport security. Now we can impact our children, and we can teach our children. Mm-hmm. So we can't train them if we're in yellow and red ourselves. They're not going to be able to grasp what we're saying. So the letter C is all about connection, because we can only connect with our kids when we're in green. And that connection is that empathy. How do we help children to feel seen, heard, and valued? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't stop there. It's how do we help our children make others feel seen, heard, and valued? Yeah. And we teach that concept of empathy. And then part of emotional intelligence is moral identity. And that's something that our children really are craving for, is who are we in a world that is full of chaos? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you see that all the time. So how do we grow that moral identity in children? So that they have our values mm-hmm. and they carry those values strongly forward. And then we have social responsibility, which is the E, engagement. How are they engaging with the world? So, and then we have F, which is frequency, which is growth mindset. So that's just a real quick sum up of how do we do that. But that's what we're aiming to do mm-hmm. is to help our children to make a difference in the world.
Okay. I just have a couple more questions before we wrap up. I loved seeing and engaging with the book and the content. Where are people accessing this content? Is this a parenting book? Is this a church curriculum? What you and your team have put together, where is it being used? In what contexts are you seeing this being applied?
Well, we have materials for parents. We have our newest book that was published by Focus on the Family this mm-hmm. past summer. It was launched by them, and that you can get anywhere in mm-hmm. any local bookstore or mm-hmm. Online at Amazon or through Focus on the Family. That book is called Signals. Mm-hmm. But we also have a podcast, mm-hmm. The Stoplight Approach, where we have a couple that are actually working through the book right now, Tim and Sarah Ganger. They're a couple, and they're talking through each chapter of the book, and they're doing a fantastic job of that. And we have a whole team of people that work all around the world in schools and homes and foster agencies and adoptions and just helping families and teachers and caregivers help children in their care. Mm-hmm. But it also goes beyond children, and we have people using it with adults in different segments in societies and businesses. They take our concepts and use them in other places, because ultimately the stoplight starts with me, mm-hmm. and me is whatever person you have, if you're a young person or an adult or anybody else out there. But we also have a website, mm-hmm. thestoplightapproach.org, where you can find a lot of resources on mm-hmm. there, or you can contact us as well. And of course, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as we wrap up here, any last thoughts you would like to give to parents that are listening to this, or maybe it's a person who's leading a children's ministry in a church, people that work with children, especially, or work in a family context, or are leading a family. Would you leave us with some final thoughts?
Final thoughts. First of all, there is hope mm-hmm. that your situation may feel hopeless, mm-hmm. but there is always hope. There's hope mm-hmm. with Christ, because He is with us. Mm-hmm. He is helping you. Right now in your situation, you are not alone. God is with you. God loves you, and He will help you. Mm. And you belong to Him, and He's going to walk this journey with you, and it's not going to be instant, but He is there for you. So don't lose hope on that. And through science, the science really is just catching up to what the Bible already tells us sure. about who yeah. God is. Yeah. And don't be scared of that. Just start to look at that and do your own studies. Look at who God is yourself. And I would just encourage you, I love the phrase, flipping the equation. Mm. So instead of focusing on behavior yep. with your child, and then your approach being that punishment or rewards, and then you have connection, go to your mm-hmm. room, time out, then you can come back and join me, mm-hmm. is flip it around and talk about connection first mm-hmm. and use the approach, red, yellow, green,
yeah.
and then the outcome will be the behavior. Yeah. So just flip the equation and start with connection with your child this next season of your life.
Sherilyn, thank you so much for joining us on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. We have really enjoyed having you. I'm believing and really thinking that this is going to be something that's going to help empower parents. And we will link to all of your resources in the show notes of the podcast so people can access the book and the website and all that stuff, and the podcast, your podcast as well. So thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I remember as we were doing this interview, I was thinking that the material that we were talking about really could be revolutionary for some parents. It really could help get some parents out of a rut or a stuck place in their parenting, because when we understand these concepts, we feel way more empowered to persevere. And it just grows even our empathy and helps fill the pool of meaning when it comes to parenting the children that God has given us. So we hope that you've enjoyed this conversation with Sherilyn. Again, we're going to link to her resources in the show notes of this episode. So if you would like to pick up the book at Amazon, or if you'd like to get a hold of the Stoplight Approach, you can link to the material that you'll find in the show notes here. So thanks again to Grant McAllister, our sound editor and designer, who takes out all the ums and ahs and wrote that really cool jingle you'll hear at the beginning and the end of every podcast. We'll see you again next month on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast.